letters, or the letters to my father. He wrote this: "What was always incomprehensible to me was your total lack of feeling for the suffering and shame you could inflict on me with your words and judgments." Kafka goes on to say that the hostility his father expressed to him eventually became so embedded in him that he turned it in against himself. He wrote, "My father's method of upbringing had saddled me with a general load of fear, weakness, and self-contempt." As an adult, Kafka was haunted by his hostile and impatient father. There was a presence constantly in his mind. Robert Bly also wrote about his father: "His skin was bark-like, made rough to repel the sympathy he longed for, refused and yet didn't need." When we get being a father wrong, we do untold damage. It is a precious gift from God. And I'm sorry to tell you, Matt, being a dad is tough. Being a dad is never easy. And the Bible's quite light on advice for us. It mentions here in Colossians 1 verse, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." And a little bit earlier in the Bible, on page 1176 and 1177, it says in Ephesians 4:6-4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Not a lot to be going on. But it all wrapped up in this context of family. A right relationship between husband and wife, a right relationship between children and parents. And if that is right, it makes the job of being a dad a lot easier. And it's all, I like to pin this whole thing under Ephesians 5:21, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." This isn't, none of this is about a power battle, about anything to do with that. So if children are obedient, as we discussed last week, and marriage is right, as we discussed a few weeks ago, and relationships are in the right order, it's much easier to be a good biblical father. Now, I want to look at three key points this morning. Father in the family, father in action, and fathers as a mirror. What type of dad did you have, or are you? Are you Captain Von Trapp? Do you remember that from the family where they all had to line up in height order and were made to do the right thing at the right time? Or are you one of those fathers who's, you know, the sort of spineless dad who will do anything for a quiet life and a cold tater? Maybe you're a mixture. Maybe you're slightly more to the Von Trapp end. Maybe you're more likely to be at the other end. But I want to tell you something. You have a role. It's a God-given role, and it's to be head of your family. So I'm going to mix Ephesians with Colossians this morning. We are to be leaders, and that's a style of manhood that's out of vogue at the moment, isn't it? If you look at most men that are on the television, they're amiable idiots. They're twits. It's not good. It's not seen as key to be a male leader in your family. And yet that's what God intends. The Christian father is there to teach and instruct his family, not to embitter them and make them feel bad. We are to lead by example. How do we speak as fathers? Are we speaking the right way? How do we use language in the house? Is church a priority in our church, in our family? Do we make sure that our families gather as a worshiping community? Can your children see you caring for your wife, leading a life of love? You don't have that authority for any other reason than God gave it you. God intended men to lead their families. And that's not the leading that's a sort of Victorian stereotype. You know the image of the Victorian father? It's become a bit of a joke, really, hasn't it? Completely humorless, a total hypocrite, definitely not fun. In fact, rather severe. Or if you want to look at it from the working class perspective, fathers were all that and a lot more. They were sometimes alcoholic and sometimes fairly brutal. Being a dad is a confused image in our society today. In the modern age of equality, how do we work it out? How do we be what the Bible tells us to be, which is leaders in our family? Now, that is not amiable autocrats. This is not the dictatorship, because you're doing it out of love for your family. We have to be countercultural. The world is saying at the moment that dads don't matter. I read one article this week that said there is nothing objectively essential about a man's contribution to his family. That is so much rubbish. There are loads of studies which show what happens to families where there aren't fathers. Psychological studies show that children who grow up without fathers from day one are more likely to be aggressive and angry. They're more likely to have self-esteem issues. They're more likely to achieve less well in education. Even when you take into account race and income and parental involvement, fatherless children, especially boys, are twice as likely to end up in prison. That's an alarming statistic. 65% of young men who kill themselves grew up without a father. Fatherless children are more likely to have sexual health issues. They're more likely to engage in sexual behavior before they're 16. There's all sorts of issues. So actually being a father in the family is a God-given job of immense importance. So therefore it's important we understand how we go about being that father without embittering our children. And actually what's lovely is the translation in our Bibles, embitter, is a better translation of the original Greek. So how can we be good fathers? How can we be biblical fathers? Well, can I say one of the first things that we need to learn as fathers is we can only control ourselves. It's true in every relationship. But if you think about it, if I try and control you, I will try and control you in my way, which is fallen and sinful and tainted by sin and unhelpful. The father isn't there to control the child. The father is there to exhort, encourage, support and advise. A sinful way of being a dad is to try and control your child and turn them into what you want them to be. A godly way is to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. It's amazing how easy it is to drop into the control methods. We all get anxious. My son's sitting his GCSEs this year. Luckily, he's not in church. He's over in the centre at the moment, so I can tell you the truth. No, I can't. I wouldn't do that to you. But I'm anxious. I'm anxious about what's going to happen in the next 12 months. And the insecurity and anxiety can run away with me. And then I try and dominate the relationship. You will spend the next 27 hours doing revision for your geography. I try to dominate. I'm always right. That's another way sometimes fathers fall down. Do you remember you have that debate? I know when your child is 15, they think you're a complete moron. You don't know anything. But actually, a bad way of trying to control your child is always trying to be right in an argument. I have to have the last word. And then when they do say sorry, another way of controlling is to insist that they apologize in the way you want them to apologize, with the words you want them to use, because it allows you to get over it. All those are little ways of trying to control people. Dads who try to control their children also can use anger to do that. If I shout really loudly and make him scared of me, he'll do what I'm telling him to do. If I constantly want him to tell me what a great dad I am, I'm trying to control him. If I push him to be a great mathematician or a great cricketer, I'm controlling him. There's lots of ways we do it. Sometimes we withhold emotional support for them. Or we batter them. We give them too many instructions, too long, too often. Or maybe we say, I can only love you if. One of the key things about being a father who doesn't discourage or embitter your child is to stop trying to control them. Another way to do this, to be a good father, is to practice humility. We all live in the shadow of the cross, that moment when Jesus died for us. And we're called to model that. And that's the call of a father and a family. What a mixture of images, authority and humility in the same breath. Persist in joy and thanksgiving. Do you see your wife and children as a gift from God? Even that sullen, moody, miserable teenager. Sometimes when I pick Josh up from school, it's great. You go, are you there, Josh?
Yes.
Where are you? I'm at school. And you think, oh, goodness, he's a great gift from God. He's a precious gift from God. Do you live in a house where you generate an image of thanksgiving for the great gifts God's given your family? Do you love your children unconditionally? Do you let them know that you love them unconditionally? Do you make time for them even when they hurt you? Even when they make you cross? That's a good way of being a Christian father. And the best way to do that is love them in the light of the grace you've received. I'm constantly aware of my sin and the fact that my Father in heaven loves me and recognizes me for who I am and still loves me. When you live in the light of that grace, you can only but love your children. Glory in your weakness. Now that's a hard one. But do you know what? If you can show your children that you need God because you're only a good father because of God's grace to you, that will show them that you are real. So how can we discourage? Well, we discourage when we're fake, where we say one thing and we do another. When we set a model of parenting that comes from the books and the magazines, our children then get confused, discouraged when we try and control them. So my last point, father as mirror. We did Life Explored this week, and Rico Tice in the first session speaks about the ceiling of the Mansion House. If you've ever been into the Mansion House, it's got a beautiful ceiling painted by Rubens, for Charles I. And if you look at it, it's a bit like if you look at this lovely ceiling up here. After about 5 minutes, you go dizzy and your neck hurts. So at the Mansion House, Rico tells us they've got trolleys with mirrors on them. And you can push the mirrors around and look at the ceiling and enjoy the glory. Now, that's how we are as fathers. We are supposed to reflect the fatherhood of God. We are meant to reflect the glory of God in the way we live. So what are we supposed to reflect? Well, God, what's our God like? God desires to be in relationship with us. I'm going to read you a passage from Matthew 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not pray like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we see it again all over the Bible, don't we? A God who desires relationship. Think about the prodigal son in Luke 15. What happens to the father when he sees the son coming back after all the son's done to him? He rises, and while the boy is still a long way off, the father leaves the house after he sees him, feels compassion, and runs and embraces and kisses him. We're mirroring that desire for relationship, that love, that unconditional love. What else do we see in God? We see God as a provider. Genesis. And God blessed them, it says in Genesis 1. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then God goes on to give them everything, doesn't he? He gives them trees and fruit and flower. And he says everything was good. We're to provide for our families. We're to look after them, watch over them, protect them as parents and particularly as fathers. We're to mirror God's meeting of our needs. One author wrote of our loving God, God reveals himself to mankind in the role of a father in several contexts. The most important is spiritual father. John tells us, doesn't he, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves unconditionally. We are to mirror that love. God disciplines. Passage from Hebrews. It tells us, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord in Hebrews 12, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whose father does not discipline? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields that peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's hard. Being a dad, when I have the Xbox conversation and threaten to put a spade through a phone, and that's my irrationality, ignore that. But my job is to discipline my children. That's not trendy today. But if you're going to be a good, godly father who reflects, who mirrors the love of God, that is the nature of God. John Piper writes, it says that God is disciplining us. He is teaching us and correcting us and transforming us. In other words, God has a purpose and a design in what is happening to us. God is the ultimate doer here. He scourges every son. God is not a passive observer in our life. While Satan beats us up, he rules over sinners and Satan. His loving purpose is to grow us in Christ. We are to mirror the love of God. We are to mirror the discipline of God. We are to be fathers who do not embitter our children, but enrich them and grow them. Think of a few other ways. These are just a list of the ways that God loves us. He is patient and kind. His kindness never runs out. We've seen that this morning in our confession. He's always approachable. You never have to earn his love. You can never blow it. He has your very best in mind. His timing is perfect. He lets you make your own choices. He knows you intimately. Being a dad is hard. And do you know what? As fathers, we need to fall on our knees week by week, day by day, and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because the only way we can be good fathers is by the grace and gifting of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask us to pray. If you're a dad, say this prayer if you want to, quietly in your heart. And I acknowledge that not all of us have had good dads. Sometimes we've lived through experiences which are terrible and traumatic. Give those to God. Ask him to heal you of those wounds so that you won't live as an embittered child, but a child set free. So let's bow our heads and just take a moment to pray. O Lord, it is hard being a father. Grant us your Holy Spirit so that those of us who are fathers will lead our children, even our adult children, ever more faithfully to love you, Christ, above all. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall short of this image of fatherhood. Give us grace to be the fathers that you called us to be. And Father, if we experienced poor fathering, heal us. Take those memories far away. We praise you and thank you that you are the perfect Father who loves us to the cross. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If I've said anything that troubles you,